It is good to see everyone on this October 30th, 2022, as we're continuing our study on how faith is an energy. It's a divine spiritual gift given to us by God. It allows us to believe in God. It allows us to hope in God. It allows us to live in victory. I feel sorry for folks that don't have faith. Folks that don't live by faith, folks that don't recognize the existence of Jesus Christ, don't believe in God. I want to thank God that this is not all there is. We've been studying the Follow Me of Faith, and then last week we began studying the Always More of Faith, and we understand that God is always moving us forward. He always has more for us to do, more for us to experience, and more for us to receive from God Himself. And so I praise God that if I was defeated yesterday by a besetting sin, I don't always have to be defeated by that sin. I can find victory in Jesus over certain things that always trip me up. So I'm always going to have that hope. If you're listening by the website to this message this week, you can tell my voice is not the same. I'm dealing with some allergies and sinuses, and so we're going to pray God's strength and let His Holy Spirit, as always, be our teacher. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out. He moved forward, not knowing where he was going. You make that up, brother? No, that's what it says. He went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned. He kept moving forward in the land of promise, as in a strange country. And he lived in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Is that not wonderful? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come today, I ask for forgiveness of daily sin and weekly sin, and I pray, Lord Jesus, that as you cleanse me and forgive me of these sins and filth I confess unto you, I do have hope for victory over every sin in my life. I know I'll never achieve sinless perfection, but I'll never be satisfied because your Holy Spirit wants me to reach forth. You want me to strive. You want me to experience more victory in my life. So, Lord Jesus, I'm just asking you, as you cleanse me by your blood, to anoint me with your Spirit today, physically and spiritually, to share your truth. And so, Father, as we look at your word today, let your Holy Spirit be our teacher. And let everyone in this building know, and everyone that listens on this website, let them know that no matter how good life is for them today, or no matter how rough life may be for them today, you've got good things for them. You've got better things for them. And there are things you have for us to do and to experience and to receive from you. And we want to grab hold of them, Jesus. And we want your truth to propel us and our faith to propel us forward in this life right on into eternity. And we want to thank you and praise you. You are the God who is there. You are the God who cares. You are the God who knows the number of the hairs on our head. And you are our personal God. You call us by name, and we know you, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out, he was called to move forward. And so what I want you to understand in verse 8 is, God didn't want Abraham to stay right where he was. It would have been easy. He was in his comfort zone. But God wanted him to go out, wanted him to leave his family, wanted him to leave his hometown, wanted him to go out. And the bottom line with Abraham's life and with my life and with your life, wherever God is calling us to go, and it doesn't have to be geographically, it can be in anything, God has something good for us when we get there. God wants to bless us. He wants to lead us from blessing to blessing. But notice what it says in verse 10. Verse 9, they dwelt in tents. They dwelt in tents. They didn't have any brick and mortar. They didn't put their roots down. They were just passing through. And he looked for a city who hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. In verse 13 it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And they were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that seek such things declare plainly that they seek such a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city whose maker and foundations is God. So what is he saying in all that, Brother Leo? He is saying, once you follow God by faith, you want to keep moving forward. You don't want to go back. Nobody wants to go back. Cleo, I don't want to go back to where it was when I was lost. I don't want to go back to the way it was when I was without Jesus. And I want to praise God as I go through this life. I just don't want to get too much attached to this life. Now, I'm going to tell you, I love this life. I love life. I love sunrises. I love hummingbirds. There's two big old deer in the front yard eating corn this morning. I love everything about it. I love quiet. I love the stars in the sky. I love people. Love animals. Love everything about life. But I want you to understand that I know that I know that I know this is not all there is, because sometimes life's not as good as I'm explaining to you right now. Sometimes we go through pain, heartache, suffering, and all those things. But even when it's good and even when it's not, I want to praise God. We've got a future in eternity. And everything's going to be wonderful then. And we're going to be blessed, and we're going to be healed, and we're going to be full of joy, and we're going to see Jesus face to face, and we're going to be reunited with all the folks that have gone before us. Keith, I'm going to need you, if you can, to like fix me a water with a little bit of ice in it. Now, that would be tremendous. Just water on the rocks. Straight as you can get it out of that tap, and we will be good. Now, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And look what it says in verse 1. He's talking about these people that look for the heavenly city. He says this: wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I told you last week I was going to focus on a different part this week. So I want to focus on laying aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And what he's saying there is, whatever there is or whatever exists in your life that hinders you from moving forward with God. So I'm going to slow down for a moment. Whatever exists in your life that hinders you from moving forward with God. So I want you to think about that for a moment. What is it that happens in your life that's hindering you from moving forward with God? And maybe you can come up with a list. I can come up with a list with maybe three or four things on it that I could say. Hey man, thank you so much. Thank you. I could come up with a list of three or four things. You know, anxiety hinders me. Perfectionism hinders me. A lot of my hang-ups hinder me. But it can be an attitude. It can be activity, it can be a habit, it can be a perspective, it can be a thought process. But I want you to understand the most dangerous sin that exists in the life of a Christian is a sin that we don't realize that we possess. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Leo? There are things that hinder us in our walk with Christ, and we don't even recognize them or acknowledge. You say, well, do you have an example of that? Oh, yeah. The bunch that crucified Jesus. They didn't see any sin in their life. They were the Pharisees. They were the scribes. They knew the word. They were the religious leaders. And they killed Jesus out of the blindness in their heart and in their minds. And what did Jesus say? There are none so blind as those who will not see. So what are you saying, Brother Hill? I'm saying it's very important when you read this verse about getting things out of your life that are hindering you and keeping you from moving forward. You need to say, Lord Jesus, would you convict me? Would you reveal to me certain things that are in my life that are hindering me from running the course that is set before me? Lord, would you just convict me and show me? Maybe they are things that you recognize. Maybe they are things that you've been confessing unto the Lord for a long time. But there are so many times, you know, everybody can see the sin in everybody else's life. But a lot of times we don't see the log that's in our own life. And so it's a viable prayer to say, God, convict me of sins that are in my life that I'm not feeling the obligation to acknowledge that they are sins. Maybe it's something you've lived with all your life. Maybe it's something the way your mom and dad acted. Maybe it's something that you've been around all your life, but you don't see it as a sin, and God sees it as a sin. So a lot of times we're being hindered because we're not allowing God to convict us of those things that are hindering us that we can't see. What does the prophet tell us? Our heart is very deceitful. Our heart lies to us. We lie to ourselves. You know, I've been reading Tozer a lot, and you know, he said, he's just awesome. And I'm reading George MacDonald a lot. And Tozer says, he said, you ever hear people say, you know, God saved me from my sin? He said, I want to take it another step. God didn't just save you from your sin. God saved you from yourself. You know, he said, when you are living in rebellion to God, you're sending yourself to hell. And you better get on your knees and thank God that he has saved you from yourself. And I want to praise God for that. MacDonald, I was telling Benford, George MacDonald wrote in one of his devotionals, he said, you know, he said, I counsel with people, and they'll use the phrase accepting Christ. And he said, I'll counsel with them several times. And he said, we'll go to close out, and they'll say, you know, I just don't think I'm ready yet. Yeah, you know, I just don't think I'm ready to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. And he said, it finally hit me one day to say, why in the world do you think Christ ought to accept you? He said, you think the issue is whether or not you're going to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? Well, let me ask you something, big boy. Why in the world should Jesus Christ accept you to become one of his children? And then he goes on to make the point, do these people not understand every breath they take is a gift from God? Do they not understand God formed them in the womb? Every good thing they've got in their life is a gift from God, all the blessings, all the people, all the family, and they're having to debate with themselves whether or not to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. He said, praise God for his mercy, for his patience, and for his long suffering with humanity. And so we really need to go before the Lord and say, Lord, what is it in my life that may be hindering me? What is it in my life that's stopping me from receiving the more and more that you have for me in my life? So I want you to go to a prayer that Paul prayed, and it's in Colossians chapter 1. And it kind of goes along with the more and the more and the more that God wants us to have in life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says this: "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, notice what he's saying. I'm praying this for you, and I desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I'm praying that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience, endurance, hope, and long suffering with joyfulness, and giving thanks unto the Father. Now, I want to make 2 points on this, and I want to grab in verse 9 where he says this: "For this cause, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you would receive and experience all these things: wisdom, knowledge, understanding, certainty of God's will, strength, might, power, increase in hope, confidence, joy, gratitude." This is a real prayer. You say, "Brother Leo, why are you making that point?" He's saying, "I consistently and I continually pray for you every day. And this is what I'm praying for you." And then he goes on to tell him. Now, why do you think Paul's praying that for them? Well, he knows they need it. Yeah? He knows they need it. But you might say, "Well, Brother Leo, yeah, you know, that's like you. You know sometimes what our needs are as you talk to us." Yes, certainly. But I want you to understand something. And if you're a parent, you'll understand what I'm saying. I told Patty many times back in the day, whether it was Little League or high school or whatever, I said, "Patty, you know why I coach?" And she said, "Why?" I said, "Because I want kids to experience a lot of the wonderful things I experienced in athletics. And so I try to coach them the way I was coached. And I want them to enjoy things with teammates and have relationships. I want them to enjoy great success. I want them to learn how to lose together and how that draws you close. Just all these wonderful things." And if you're a parent and you played athletics, a lot of times you want your children to play athletics because you want them to experience all the good things you experienced. If you were involved in music and you learned a lot in music, you want your children to experience music or whatever it is. And so what I believe, when Paul starts this prayer, he's not just praying what he thinks their needs are. He's wanting them to experience what he experiences in his relationship with Jesus Christ. And there are times I'm preaching, you know, my guts out because I want you to get some of what I've gotten. And I've not gotten that much, but Paul got this stuff exponential. And he's wanting these people to have the same experience of victory with Jesus Christ that he has. And so he says, every day I'm praying, and notice what he says. Notice what he says in verse 9. That you be filled with the knowledge. In verse 10, he says that you might be fruitful in every good work. And then in verse 10, that you would increase in the knowledge of God. So that you would be filled with, that you would be full of fruit, and that you would increase. So what's he praying? He says, I'm praying you get more and more and more and more of all this stuff. That you don't settle for what you've got now. And so I'm praying that you will receive these things. So notice what he says, number one. Pray for you and desire that you might be filled with the certainty of the knowledge of his will. So what does that mean? That means to know that I know that I know that I'm in God's will and I'm in the center of God's will. And I want you to understand, most Christians or a majority of Christians never get there. So my friend, I'm going to pray that for you. And Paul's praying that for us. And it's very important that we do things based on the will of God. And knowing that this is God's will for our life at this time in our life. And he wouldn't be praying that if God was not going to provide that. God will provide a certainty concerning his will for your life. So I want you to understand that. He'll let you know, you know, what job to take. He'll let you know when to make a change in your life. He'll let you know what relationships to be in. He'll let you know, where you need to move forward, where you need to be still, where you need to turn left, where you need to turn right. He'll let you know whether you need to go ahead and have a surgery or wait 6 months. Whatever it is, God will reveal with certainty his will for your life. And you say, Brother Leo, how can I receive that? You have not because you ask not. Ask God to give you a certainty of his will for this particular area in your life. And pray for it and ask for it. Now, I want to kind of take a few moments with this next word. He wants you filled with his wisdom. Now, I could ask you, you know, how many of y'all have ever prayed for God's wisdom? And you would probably say, man, yeah, that's something I pray a lot for. You know, I've prayed for it. Well, let me define it for you in the Greek. The word is Sophia. And it means this. It means a divinely imparted skill in navigating through or in managing and discerning circumstances. So what's wisdom, really? It's a divinely imparted skill in navigating through or in managing or discerning circumstances. Like circumstances in a situation. I say, God, I need your wisdom in this. You know, we'll pray for guidance. That's important. But I need your wisdom in this. That result in a godly or righteous outcome. That result in a godly, a righteous outcome. So you and I have circumstances in our life every day. So we need God's wisdom to navigate through the circumstances to bring us to a godly outcome. Now, go all the way back with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. And I want to show you an example of God's wisdom. You probably learned this story in Vacation Bible School. Some of you taught this story in Vacation Bible School. But he prays that we overflow with God's wisdom. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon is now the young king of Israel. And in verse 5, and I want to show you how powerful this is. In verse 5, it says this, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask me for anything, and I will give unto you. Ask what I shall give unto you. Now, what if the Lord asks you that? Ken, if God appeared to you in a dream, I mean, that's the thought, and said, I'll give you anything, you know, righteous. Anything you want to ask for righteously, what would you ask for? And I don't want you to answer me, but I'm just saying to think on that. And what would we ask? You know, what would we ask? And so Solomon says, you have showed unto your servant David, my father, great mercy. And according as he walked before you in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with you. And in verse 7 he says, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king, me, Solomon, instead of David my father. And I'm but a little child, I don't even know how to go out or come in. And I'm having to lead a huge number of people. Verse 9. He says, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. And God said unto him, because you have asked this. Notice what God says a lot of people would have said. And you didn't ask for yourself a long life. Kathy, you know, that seems like, God, I just want to have great health till the day I die. You know, that's not a bad prayer. But that's a prayer a lot of folks would ask. Notice what else he said. Neither have you asked riches for yourself. Neither have you asked for to defeat your enemies. But you have asked for yourself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to your words, and I have given you a wise and an understanding heart. And then he goes on to say, I'm going to bless you with all this other stuff because you have asked for wisdom. Now, I want you to understand that God's wisdom in your life is probably the most practical and useful attribute of God you could have. You need God's wisdom every day. You need God's wisdom every moment. And when you talk about practical application, something that should be valued in your life, that's unbelievable how much value Solomon put on the wisdom of God. That he could have asked for anything, and he asked for the wisdom of God. Now, notice what happens here pretty quickly in verse 16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king and stood before him. And the one woman said, O my Lord, I and this woman dwell in one house. And I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass the third day after I was delivered that this woman had a baby also, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, just us two. And this woman's child died in the night because she laid over it, smothered. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me while the handmaid slept, and laid it with her, and laid her dead child in my bed with me. And when I rose in the morning to give my child suckling, behold, it was dead. But when I thought about it in the morning, I said, this is not my son. And the other woman said, nay, but the living is my son, the dead is yours. And I said, no, the dead is your son, the living is my son. And thus they spake before the king, and then said the king, the one saith, this is my son that lives, and thy son is dead. And the other said, no, she's lying. Her son's dead, and my son lives. Now I read this thing over and over, and I'm sitting there thinking, how in the world are you going to judge in a situation like this? And you know, Cameron, I thought about my own life. People, believe it or not, I get some of those things brought to me in the last 38, 39 years. And you're looking at the situation, you're saying, there's just no good answer for this. I just can't figure this thing out. There's no way. I can't. Patty, we just really got to pray because I don't know what to tell these people. I don't know which way to turn. I don't know what the right answer is. I don't know how you glorify God in this. I don't want to not glorify Him in this. And so you run all this through your mind. But notice the wisdom of God. Do y'all know how this thing turns out? All right, now notice the wisdom. And the king said, The king said, bring me a sword. King says, bring me a sword. Now, can you imagine those two women? And they brought a sword before the king, and the king said, divide the baby in two and give one half to this woman and give the other half to that one. Now, is that not something? Pastor, I know you, hey, did you teach this in Vacation Bible School? Give one half to one woman, give the other half to the other one. And then spake the woman, whose the living child was unto the king, for her inner mercies and love yearned upon her son, and she said, oh my Lord, give this other woman the living child, and in no way slay it. But the other one said, let it neither be mine nor hers, but go ahead and cut that child in half and divide it. So they expose themselves, who was the real mother and who was the lying woman. And the king answered and said, give her the living child and in no way slay it, because she is the mother thereof. And I read you all that, even because you know all that, because I always pray this prayer. I ask God not just for His wisdom. I ask God for the wisdom of Solomon. God, could you please give me the wisdom of Solomon as we go through what we're going through? God, could you please give me the wisdom of Solomon as we have to make a decision concerning this situation? So Paul is praying for those folks that they would be filled with the wisdom of God. Now, you don't have to turn there, but James chapter 1, verse 5 says this. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives wisdom liberally, and it will be given unto you. So I just want to ask you, how often do you pray for God's wisdom? We have not because we ask not, and we ask not because evidently we don't value or understand how much we need God's wisdom in our lives, and we think we can handle things with our wisdom, or the world's wisdom, or man's wisdom. So he says, pray for God's wisdom. And so a lot of times we don't ask God for His wisdom. Turn back to Colossians chapter 1. So Paul is praying for them that they would be filled with God's wisdom. They would be filled with a certainty in the knowledge of God's will. And they would be filled with God's wisdom more and more. Don't you want more and more of God's wisdom in your life? Don't you need more and more of God's wisdom in your life? I think that James chapter 1, verse 5, that's, you know, man makes plans and God laughs. I think some of these verses, God's chuckling. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask me. He knows we all lack wisdom. You know, I'm not just preaching this to me. If any of you realize how much you lack wisdom. And so he says more and more. And then he says that you would be filled with spiritual understanding. God wants you to understand His truth. He doesn't want you to be confused about it. He wants you to have certainty about it. He wants it nailed down in your mind that you are saved by grace through your faith. all these major doctrines that are in the Word of God. God desires that you would have more and more and more spiritual understanding as He reveals more and more and more to you about His truth and about your life. So I want more and more spiritual understanding. Now, notice what he goes on to say, verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing and be fruitful in every good work. That's two things that are together. There are more good things that God wants you to do in life. What did we see last week at Chemos? God doesn't want you on a shelf. God doesn't want you to not be used by Him. Paul had a great fear of that. So God wants me to be more fruitful, to bear more fruit, more of the characteristics of God. And God's got more good works for you to do to glorify God. So we never get to a point where we just stop doing for the Lord or for the glory of God. And then he says this. Here we go again, more and more. He wants you to increase in the knowledge of God. And what that means in increasing in the knowledge of God, he wants you to know more and more about God. And he also wants you to know God better in a more intimate way. So you need to know more about God and you need to be closer to God as you go through your life. And then he goes on to say this, verse 11. That you would be strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. He wants you to have more of His might in your life, more of His power in your life, more of His strength in your life. And we need to realize this is available and God wants us to have it. He wants us to have more power over sin, more strength to move forward and do things for God, more spiritual strength. All these things God wants us to have. And then he goes on to say this, unto all patience and long-suffering. God wants us to endure. He wants us to move forward. He wants us to have hope. He wants us to have expectancy. And he wants us to have confidence that he is at work. And you want more and more of that. You know, it's just like a young lady on the basketball court and she comes out and hits her first two threes. What does that do? It gives her confidence to keep shooting. Same way in your spiritual life. God wants you to have more and more and more and more confidence in your walk with Jesus Christ and that there's victory for you to have in your life. And so all these things are to be increased and increased and increased. And that should give us, an overabundance of hope. And then he says this, with all joyfulness. You know when people pray for more joy? When they're down in the dumps. People say, Lord, give me joy because I'm depressed. Lord, give me joy because things aren't going well. I just need God's joy. I don't have any of God's joy. I want you to understand, when you've got God's joy and it's at the apex in your life, guess what? God wants you to have even more joy. So don't quit asking God for more joy. I want more joy, Lord. I want more joy. And then we're going to finish up with this. And look at what he says. He says, and giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He wants you to have more gratitude in your life. He wants you to have more joy and more gratitude in your life. And a lot of times folks will say, that we will constantly and consistently approach God with a spirit and in a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude. Do we need more? You know, are we lacking at times in gratitude unto God? I know that I am. I need to be more grateful. I need to recognize all my blessings. Patty and I have been trying to pray more prayers of gratitude and thanksgiving before God. You know, when we sit down to eat, a lot of times we're just counting blessing after blessing after blessing and thanking God for all those blessings. And a lot of times I just have one prayer of thanksgiving unto God. And you know what I do? I go back over my life as best I can. I go back and I thank God for Pierpont Baptist Church, where I grew up and got saved. I thank God for Zion Baptist Church, where I went in Walterboro, South Carolina, and got called into the ministry and ordained. I thank God for Jedburgh Baptist Church, where I had my first pastorate. I thank God for Cars Hill Baptist Church, where I had my second pastorate. I thank God for Green River Baptist Church, which got me to Wayne County. And I thank God for the Wayne County Bible Center, where we've been here these 25 years. And then I go back and thank God for certain teachers I had. And I go all the way up through college and certain coaches that I had. I don't want to take for granted. And you say, Brother Leo, how often do you do that? Maybe once every 2 weeks or so. I don't do it every day, but I remind myself of how good God's been to me. I thank God for healing me of Crohn's disease when I got out of college and was near death, and then healing me in North Carolina when I was near death, and then healing me in Tennessee when I was near death. I go back through those three major times and thank God for His healing. And I mean, when you finish a prayer like that, you feel like the most blessed guy in the world. And the beautiful thing is, all of you have got that prayer in. I thank God for the people that have been so good to Daniel. And I'll go back over a lot of the people that have been in his life. And the things that have been provided for Patty. And I thank God for my mom and dad who are with Jesus. And I think back on those things. And you know, Paul's praying that they would be filled with gratitude and thanksgiving. What do you think, God's disappointed in me because I don't pray that kind of prayer that you're praying? No, I'm not saying that. But I am saying, God does expect us to stop from time to time and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. And it's a good thing. It makes you feel good. It makes you realize and understand just how good God's been to you. And when you see all the people that He's brought into your life, if you go back to as far as you can remember, and you can think about people that taught you in Sunday school, vacation Bible school, people that have had influences over your life, and you thank God. Look at what he says here, verse 12, that you would be increased giving thanks unto the Father. And you know what thanksgiving results in? It results in joy. And so you increase in joy and contentment. You know, it's hard for me to ask God for anything because, man, He's given me over and abundant up to this point in my life, and I know that He always will. And so gratitude is a huge part of our prayer life that feeds us and builds us and encourages us. And it's important to petition, and it's important to intercede, and we can do that every day. But I do think we need a consistency of gratitude and thanksgiving. You know, they offered praise and thanksgiving offerings in the temple. And I think God calls us to do that on the temple and the altar of our heart. I'm about out of gas. I only wanted to go 23 minutes today. And I went 43 minutes. Let me pray with you. Father, as we call on you, I want to thank you that you want to give us more and more and more. And this is not all there is. Not for me in this life, and definitely not after I leave this life. And so we rejoice in you. We're looking for that city. We're headed toward it. But Father, as we go, we can be increased in the knowledge of your will for our life. We can be increased in our knowledge of you. We can receive more of your wisdom for daily life. More joy, more gratitude, more of the love of God. Another one of Paul's prayers. We would be increased with the breadth and depth and height and length, the four-dimensional love of God that's immeasurable. Father, let us be a people of more and more and more with you, Lord Jesus.